A lot of times when somebody first starts asking me for advice on their book launch, they immediately want to jump into talking about what to do on Twitter or how to use their blog or should they do, you know, a blog tour and all these different things. And that is a huge mistake. That's a big mistake you make by immediately jumping into these tools and how to use them. And so that's what I want to start off talking about today, is the difference between strategy and tactics and why that's really important when you first start planning out your book launch. Now, if you're just jumping in, this is the book launch show. We are talking about all the strategies and tactics you need to have a successful book launch. My name is Tim Grawl. I've been working with authors for over 8 years to help them build their platforms and launch best-selling books. I've worked on dozens of campaigns, launched books to number one on the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, USA Today bestseller list, and I've also worked with authors that are just getting their first books off the ground and out into the world. And I put together all kinds of strategies and tactics of how you can successfully launch a best-selling book, and I'm sharing them on this show. So today, I want to talk about that idea. What's the difference between strategy and tactics? A lot of times people start jumping into these very specific things they want to do with their book launch, and I always want to pull back and look at the overall strategy before we jump into anything granular, because to me, this is the difference between blueprints and tools. So many times people want to start talking about how to use Twitter or how to use their blog, and to me, this is the equivalent of reaching into your toolbox to grab a hammer and just start nailing boards together when you have no idea what you're actually trying to build. You have to start with a plan, the blueprint first, and then once you know what you're trying to build, you can actually reach into your toolbox and get the right tools for the job. Otherwise, you're just going to kind of put together this hodgepodge of stuff that won't actually accomplish anything. And what you see with most book launches out there is that's exactly what authors are doing. They're kind of randomly doing all of this stuff that they may have read online about, or a buddy told them about, or maybe they think it might work, and they just kind of do all of this random stuff, hoping that something will hit and actually sell books. What you find is most of the time, all of it fails. And then if something actually works, it's hard to even know what worked because we're not tracking what worked and what didn't. All of a sudden, you just see book sales and you don't know why they're coming in. So what I want to do is always be starting with this overarching strategy. What are we trying to accomplish? And then once we know what we're trying to accomplish, we can really dive in and get started. So when you are beginning to plan out your book launch, you want to take a step back and start thinking, what are you going to be doing? What is the overarching plan from start to finish to actually sell books? And then you get down slowly to the granular, using the right tools for the job. So the first thing we have to think about is the difference between fans and influencers. So how I define these is simply, fans are people that will buy your book, and influencers are people that will get other people to buy your book. So when we look specifically at fans, these are the people that we're connected to that will actually buy a copy of the book. So in the last episode, I defined marketing as creating long-term connections with people and then being relentlessly helpful. So when it comes to your fans, we want to create a long-lasting connection with them, and then we want to continue to add value to their lives so that they will actually buy a book, will have permission to stay in contact with them long-term. And that permission marketing is what we're really honing in here. We want to make sure that we're building up a group of people that we have permission to stay in contact with. Now, permission is a very particular thing. So I define permission as anything that can get people's attention and drive action. Whatever tool is really good at getting people's attention and driving action is what you want to use for permission. Now, this is where we start looking at individual tools. Okay, so a lot of people think, okay, if I can just get enough Facebook fans or enough Facebook friends or followers, if I can get enough Twitter followers, if I can just get people on social media, that's going to work. The problem is, if you actually test that, it doesn't work so well. Remember, permission is two things. Can I get people's attention and can I drive action? What I found is, if you actually test this inside of Facebook or Twitter, it's really hard to get people's attention and drive action when you need to. And if you just say, let's look at Twitter. If you just look at how people interact with Twitter, you'll see pretty quickly why it doesn't work this way. So if you're active on Twitter, just think about everybody you follow on Twitter. So everybody you followed on Twitter. Then in the last 24 hours, all of those updates from all of those people on Twitter that you follow, how many of those have you actually looked at? For most of us, it's less than 1%, maybe even less than that. So for most of us, it's very little. And what that means is it's the same thing for you. Just because somebody's followed you does not mean they're actually paying attention to what you're putting out on Twitter. The same thing goes for Facebook. Just because you post something on Facebook does not mean the people that have friended you are going to see it or the people that have liked your page are going to see it. In fact, the most recent stat that I saw is that if you are running a Facebook page and you post something, only roughly 15% of people that have liked your page does it even show up in their feed. That doesn't mean they've interacted with it or even seen it. It just means they showed up in their feed. So that other 85% of people, they never even see it. And so when we start thinking through what tool is the best tool to actually get people's attention and then drive action, very quickly, things like Facebook and Twitter fall down. The tool that is number one still is email. The number one thing you should be doing as an author is building up an email list of fans. This is still the most direct way to get people's attention and drive action. Now, if you're wondering what I mean by an email list and how you can get an email list set up and start growing your email list, that's a little beyond the scope of the show. And so in the show notes for this episode, I put a link to a step-by-step walkthrough I've done on how you can get an email list set up and get yours going. But the main thing that you want to be doing is building up an email list. This is your number one permission asset. This is the most direct way to communicate with your fans. In fact, and I know this not because I've just kind of think it or I've read some articles about it, because of all the different launches I've worked on, I've gotten to actually test this in the real world. And one time I actually tested this where we promoted the book through a Twitter feed that was over 100,000 followers of this author for his Twitter feed. And then we promoted the book through his email list. And what we saw was that a email list subscriber was more than 12 times more likely to actually click the link to buy a book than they were if they were following them on Twitter. And so all that work that you're trying to do to build your Twitter following or build your Facebook following, that is not going to turn into sales the way that you think it will. Your number one goal should be getting people on an email list. And again, if you just think through how most people interact with email, most people at least look at every email that comes in their inbox, or they're much more likely to actually work through all the emails in their inbox than they are to look through every single tweet that comes through their Twitter feed or every single thing that shows up in their news feed on Facebook. And so why I'm harping so much on this idea of having an email list is because this is the main tool we're going to use to launch your book. This is how we're going to communicate with fans. Remember, I told you there's two groups of people we're interacting with when it comes to launches. And of course, I'm going to go deeper into this in future episodes. But the first one is fans. And those are the people that are going to buy your book. They're the ones you want to directly, when it's time, go out and buy a copy of your book. And the most direct way to stay in contact with them is by building up an email list. So when you think about that, the goal for fans is a one-to-many communication, right? So our goal is that you're going to get 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, 30,000 email subscribers, and there's no way that you can stay in contact with that many people one-on-one. So email is a great way to do a one-to-many communication where you send one email to everybody on your email list at the same time. So that's fans. The definition of fans are people that are going to buy your book, people that you're directly connected to that are going to go out and buy a copy of your book. Now let's look at that other group, influencers. So influencers are people that will get other people to buy your book. So this is bloggers, podcasters, anybody in the media, basically anybody who has a group of people that they can sway their buying decisions. So, you know, everybody's favorite example is Oprah. As soon as a new book hits Oprah's book club, it becomes a bestseller, right? So there's a lot of people that pay attention to Oprah. And so when Oprah says buy something, she influences their buying decisions. So influencers are people that will get other people to buy your book simply by influencing their buying decisions. And so if you think about it, we're going to interact with these people, these two different groups, in two different ways. We're going to interact with our fans by asking them to be a part of our book launch and buying a copy of the book. And then we're going to interact with influencers and try to get them to tell their group of people that they influence to go buy a copy of our book. Now, this is why it's really important to focus on strategy before you focus on tactics, because so many people so quickly are like, okay, then I should do a blog tour. I should go out to all these bloggers and do guest posts on all of these different blogs, or I should do a podcast tour and be interviewed on all these different podcasts. And while, yes, that could be a good strategy for you or a good tactic for you, you have to think bigger. You have to think overall, who is interested in buying my book and who can I find that influences that those decisions? So I was working with an author one time that was writing a book about learning and the science of learning and how learning interacts with the brain. And so she was already in kind of the media mindset because her previous book had been covered in some major magazines. So she's like, okay, I want to get it covered in this magazine and this magazine. I'm like, well, that's great. Those are influencers, right? The people writing for these magazines. But there's other groups of people that are being influenced as well. And so we start talking about homeschool groups. So homeschooling has been exploding in the United States over the years. More and more people are doing it, and more resources are coming out. And so you can find these pockets of homeschoolers all over the place that are being influenced by email newsletters or being influenced by a conference that they attend. So I kind of threw this idea out. My client went out, started looking around, and sure enough, she was already connected to several different people in the homeschooling world that was going to help her put her book out to thousands of homeschooling parents that are going to be interested in buying the book. Now, these weren't your typical bloggers. These weren't your typical media people, but they were people that influenced other people's buying decisions. That's why it's extremely important you always start high level. Okay. When we are planning a launch, we know that we're going to talk to two different types of people. We're going to talk to fans, and then we're going to talk to influencers. We're going to try to get fans to directly go out and buy our book, and we're going to try to get influencers to influence the buying decisions of the people in their sphere. So that's where we start. Now, in the next episode, I'm going to share with you the three different parts of every launch that I look at. How are we going to get fans to buy the book? How do we extend our reach further than we currently have it? And then how do we get influencers to actually promote our book? And we're going to start talking about that. So in the next episode, we're going to talk about the three different parts of every launch, and we're going to dive into that. So thanks for listening to this episode of the Book Launch Show. For any past episodes, any show notes, if you want to get links to anything I mentioned, all of that is at booklaunchshow.com. And like I mentioned the last episode, right now on Amazon, my book, Book Launch Blueprint, is available for $9.99. But since you're listening to this podcast, this episode, and taking a risk on this show, I want to give you a free copy of that book. That's available at booklaunchshow.com as well. Lastly, since this is a brand new podcast, the timing is really important that you download all the episodes, you tell more people about it, and if you really want to support the show, go into iTunes, leave a rating and review. That would mean a lot to me and really be a big help in getting the word out about the show. So thanks again for listening, and we will see you in the next episode.